Welcome to the first in what we hope will be a long series of podcasts by Twickenham CC. The official name is the Twickenham CC Podcast, but those who are going to contribute are all badgers, and one of them has South African roots, so we have informally named it Badgers and the Braai. We're very open to other suggestions, and we positively welcome any listeners that we may accrue to get in touch and tell us what they call it, if they could. My name's Dan Huff. I am the long-standing secretary of the club, now over a decade in and counting. And I'm here with Kev Kavir to my left. We think the only person to have played for all six Twickenham CC sides on a Saturday. Certainly played for the first team in a much recalled game 18 months ago. To my right is Eugene Berger, our resident international, having played five ODIs for Botswana many moons ago. When I asked him originally who he'd played against, he couldn't remember, so that they're obviously not as memorable for him as they would be for me if ever I'd got in that position. Kev, do you want to say a few words about what you're going to contribute here?
Yeah, I'll try to. Thanks for the intro. It's worth adding that Dan has missed off that his nickname is The Prof, and I think we'll find out over the next few months about the encyclopedic nature of his cricketing knowledge, which should bring a lot to this.
Put a lot of people to sleep, Kev, that. Thanks.
Well, yeah, we'll try and minimise that. So I've got the dubious honour of playing ones through to sixes, which is probably not a highlight in reality, but we can include links in the footer of the press coverage of my pretty famous trip in the ones. Failed rugby player turned cricketer, love all things cricket, got 5 years now playing at Twickenham, and we look at this as a great opportunity to talk about all things cricket, have some fun, and hopefully bring some value. Over to you, Eugene.
Yeah, hello all. So been with the club for 5 years now, spent four of them in the ones playing with our skipper, who will hopefully get on this at some stage. And the previous 2 years, I've been skipper of the two. So, happy to be part of this and hopefully going to contribute something of value every now and then.
Thanks, Hugh. I guess say that I've been at Twickenham now for the best part of 15 years, having come down from the Midlands, played lots of cricket up there as well. I think all of us are not really sure where this podcast is going to go, but there are a couple of common denominators. We all are keen to think and talk not just about Twickenham, the club that we play for, the club we're heavily involved in, but also about stuff that comes up, and there will be plenty of stuff coming up through 2019. It's a busy old year, and it of course starts on the 23rd of Jan with another test match. But Kev, what are you looking forward to in the next 12 months or so? What's going on? What are we going to be talking about?
Yeah, I guess as an England fan, it's a tricky one to look past the next kind of big series, but you'd hope that we should, despite being away, deal with the Windies quite comprehensively.
You hope?
It'll be like a home game, won't it? I mean, there's only England fans who ever go to the grounds in the West Indies, so we should use that to our advantage.
Yeah, he's got a few drummers. But so I think, look, we're expecting to do pretty well out there. And then, I mean, if you look at the schedule as a club cricketer that follows international, to have home Ashes and then a World Cup in the same year, that's going to be a pretty tricky one to get past the wife. But I think, look, we've got to deal with West Indies. Then, you know, the Ashes is going to be a big one. It's going to be really interesting, I think, having the Aussies over in England after, obviously, you know, what you can't not discuss with the pretty acrimonious situation with Smith, Warner and Bancroft, and seeing them on the English shores for the first time. So
are they as bad as they look, Kev? I mean, India made them look pretty bad, but are we going to see a different Aussies when they get here?
Depends who gets here.
Fair
comment. I guess, are Smith and Warner going to be the same players having been off for so long? They both just picked up potentially pretty bad injuries coming close to the end of their ban. I think it's a hamstring for Warner and a thumb or a wrist for Smith.
Something like that, yeah.
That's not what you want when you're slowly starting to get back into a bit more cricket, but I don't think they'll ever be bad. I don't think, at least in my lifetime, they've been a bad Aussie team.
So usual, where does a Botswanan with a Belgian passport stand on England v Australia?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, having watched some of the BBL and seen Bancroft come back, he seems to have hit the ground running pretty well. Yeah. So obviously he's been netting while he's been away. It'll be really interesting to see how Warner and Smith come back. I suppose the other thing I'd ask is how are England faring at the moment? You know, looking at Root's form in the BBL hasn't been that great. I understand it's a completely different format, but it's been interesting. Butler's obviously been firing. It's been a really interesting T20 tournament that they've had over in Australia. Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a tightly fought match when they come over. But, you know, the first things first, they've got to get over the West Indies, which starts on the 23rd, as you say.
Yeah. I think the funny thing for England will be how they fit their three wicketkeepers into the test side.
Yeah.
They'll have one bowling before long, the way they're going.
You're not wrong, because you know, you're a brave man to not get Butler and Bairstow in there, especially, like you say, with Root looking a bit frail and having quite nailed the opening pan. But memory's failing me. Folks?
Yeah, the Surrey wicketkeeper, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how can you knock what how he's done since he's come into the team? So,
I mean, I think he's a slightly different type of batter, which may be good or may be bad, but he's more of a nudger and a nerdler, which of course goes down very well in the Huff household, but whether it will with the England selectors on flat tracks is another matter.
Yeah, and memory serves you correctly, he was the incumbent wicketkeeper because
Bairstow.
They got injured, so you know, how can you drop someone who's, I think he scored 100 too, so
yeah,
it's going to be
one of our leading run scorers. I guess the tricky thing was that they picked him first and foremost because they said in the subcontinent with all the spin, they just want the best gloveman. Does that same rationale hold true when you move to England? Are they able to go back on that and say, we don't need our best gloveman anymore, we're going to go for the best keeping batsman? But don't his runs then reinforce on that side? So I don't envy them as to how they fit those three together, but I don't think we'll ever be far off. Moving Jute Ball, Broad and Anderson just seems to be evergreen.
You don't think they're getting long in the tooth? You don't think there's I know Curran's coming through and he's the youth, but, you know, that's one of the things that I see is, you know, possibly an area that the Aussies will exploit when they do come over here is, are they going to have, Anderson swinging around corners? What will the case there be, do you reckon?
Personally, I just think Anderson's such a wily bowler and he knows his skill sets. He's a bit like McGrath, never relied on his pace. That's why he was able to go on so long. But, I think we'll be fine. Broad, I probably agree with you, but he's that guy that can you know, just get on his straps.
It's just the 300 plus test wickets, isn't it?
You know, yeah,
it's
that type only.
But I think that this calendar, the calendar of cricket, we could go on about that for months and months, and we probably will.
Well, we will come back to it, but we also should say a little bit about the World Cup. Apparently, we're the best team in the world, right? So I hear. So they tell me, are we going to win?
I'm not taking that.
I don't know. I don't think England and
the classic comment.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, you look at the what was held here when Pakistan won. It was the ICC Champions Trophy. It's any team on their day, which is nice. The nice thing about 50 over cricket.
But even going back to 1992 when Pakistan won the World Cup, we rolled them for 70. We were all set to win the World Cup. Played them in the final and they smashed us.
Yeah.
So you know.
And to be clear, Huge, obviously, when Dan and I refer to we, you can respond talking about South Africa's chances in the World Cup. We shouldn't put you in some sort of
Belgium,
fact of England shirt.
There's no Belgium. But yeah, I mean, you know, South Africa have a tagline along the chokers. So yeah, it'll be tough to see them win the World Cup. It'll be good to see them win the World Cup if they do get there. But yeah, I'm actually sitting on the fence this one. So yeah, I'm really not going to say who's going to win it right now.
If you want a passport, Huge, in the foreseeable future, then you get off that fence and you get off the right side, all right?
Okay. Fair enough.
Quite a few splinters so far in this podcast.
And what about Twickenham's year? Obviously, we've had, as every club does, you have ups and downs, but 2019, what are we aiming for, Huge?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good year for the club. We've had a lot of new recruits that have contacted us, which is really good for this time of year. I think we've already got three or four that have contacted us that are, you know, coming down to nets, and we'll talk a little bit about that later in the podcast. But yeah, we've had a good number of people contact us. You know, the ones did really well last year; they managed to stay up in the Prem. Unfortunately, the twos went down.
Who was the skipper? Was it down to leadership?
Or? Yeah, it was definitely down to leadership. I was the two skipper, so yeah, I took all the accolades when we won the league in 2016. So you know, I've got a 2017, should I say? So yeah, it's got to take some of the blame on this one. So yeah, it's a good year to bounce back, though. 2019 is going to be the year of the twos. And obviously the threes with Watsi, they did really well and, you know, stayed up in Division 2 where they are now. So, or was it Division 3, Kev? I can't remember now.
Two. Well, no, Watsi's already, he's planning, you know, his launch pad for the title.
Okay.
He's not messing about. He'll be at home listening to this and already, you know, thinking strategically about how he's going to do it.
So I like it.
If the threes have a bad year, it won't be through the want of trying. You know, Watsi will be giving it his all. Fours and fives, change leagues.
New structure.
Not sure it's going to affect them on the field that much, but they are now, of course, part of a different league.
Are we in the west zone or I can't remember how it's structured now.
I think it's north and south, or it's the way I always think about it is north and south, because Southgate's obviously in the north and we're in the south. But there's a pyramid structure lower down. Lot of reorganisation off the field. I think if the truth be known, on the field people will just turn up and play, and they won't have as far to travel, so hopefully a few more people will turn up to play a bit more frequently. So looking forward to seeing how that goes. Any other things we need to look out for, sort of TCC-wise, 2019?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay.
Cricket week.
Cricket week, that's a good one.
That's always a bit of a highlight as a club cricketer, obviously.
We'll have an international fixture this year.
I'm hearing rumours.
Yeah, Singapore CC are in town on the Tuesday of cricket week. We have heard rumours about how good or bad they may be, but quite frankly, we have no idea. But we'll be playing them. MCC. After a washout last year, are also back on the Thursday.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an entertaining week, plus a couple of other traditional games against Redditch on the Monday.
Yeah, that Monday.
1987 League, you know, may they rest in peace, on Wednesday. They've still got their rep side, even if they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good fix.
Yeah, and then Wimbledonians on the Friday.
The T20, that's it, yeah.
So plenty gone. We should say as well, the ladies have moved leagues. But they're looking to hit the ground running, and we'll hopefully speak to a couple of members in due course from the ladies section to get their view on life. And I think in general we're just looking to try and chew the fat, really. Talk about cricket, whatever comes our way, whether it be club level, whether it be international or something else. We're looking to have our take on it. We should say we're not talking for Twickenham CC. We're talking for ourselves, and we're open to all comments, suggestions, rants, raves, whatever you've got, we're keen to hear it.
Definitely. The more feedback we get on this, the more that we can put into it, the more we can improve it. You know, as Dan said, this is the first of many that'll hopefully become a long following of subscribers. So, yeah, looking forward to this.
Sounds good to me. It'd be great to get some questions, if only just to make sure it's not just
I'm sure Tom Guy. Yeah. Tom Guy's definitely going to be the first to throw a question in there.
Donners, we're waiting for you. Yeah. Whenever you're ready.
Someone's out there. Tell us, please. Anything.
Do you want to say just a couple more words about the future format of this stuff? What are we likely to be talking about? Not necessarily in the details, but what's the broader point of it all?
Yeah, so I suppose, you know, this sort of started back when we started digitizing the club in the nicest possible way. We, you know, sort of went through the website revamp 2 years ago. Last year was the year of social media, where we really ramped up what we were doing on, you know, all the social media platforms, that being Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And sort of this year, I thought to myself, well, let's kick off something new. And, you know, this podcast seems to be the best way. Instead of people reading stuff, you know, I don't know, I personally listen to quite a few podcasts as it is, maybe because I don't like reading, but, you know, that's just each to my own. Hopefully this will be the new invention. What we're going to do next year, I have no idea. So,
one step at a time.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that was the thought behind it. And like I said, you know, the nice thing about this sort of format is, you know, people can ask us questions across all of those social media platforms that we've just asked. And, you know, to Dan's point, we definitely want to hear what we can improve on, and any questions that people have out there, future topics, whatever, could be good.
I think it's a brilliant idea. And, you know, I've only been involved in the club for the last 5 years. A key thing for me is that, you know, we're really lucky every year that we normally have an OP or someone overseas that brings in a wealth of talent or experience. You know, and I guess the only sad thing is that they tend to be with us for a year and then they drop out. And we've got this wonderful network of expats or former players that have moved, be it for work, family reasons, that, you know, without something like this, drift out. And I think for me, this would be a success if we start being able to re-engage or hear back from or have chats with, you know, some of the great people that leave a real big footprint on the club. You'll be able to speak more about this, Dan, of, you know, some of the legends that have been through the club in your years. But, you know, if you look at the likes of, you know, I guess we can mention Hicksy and a couple of those guys that were out playing state level cricket now, and that's, I guess, if you think a couple of years ago we were, you know, if you're blaming them on the green, that's not a bad thing.
Well, we could blame others. You say Kirk Edwards went on to not just play for the West Indies, but scored 100 for the West Indies in India.
Who'd have thought that?
Who'd have thought that? Yeah. Good player, but I'm not sure I necessarily saw that coming. So, you know, there's plenty of people we're looking to hook in and talk about and talk to. Fingers crossed, we come up with some pretty interesting content as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be also get to, you know, nice to get some other guests that are local on. You know, whether it be people from our own club, people from, you know, neighbouring clubs, you know, maybe get a couple of, you know, umpires on, maybe get some interesting conversations going on there. So, yeah, we're open to all discussions and hopefully, you know, anything that goes. You know, we're trying to make sure that this is engaging for our listeners.
Well, I think all of that's as an intro. And I think that hopefully gives people an idea about where we're starting and where we sort of want to go. But we did also want to talk about just a couple of things that are ongoing at the moment, substantive stuff, as it were. And I think, you know, there's two things that I wanted to raise, and I'll flag them up now. The first one is, as secretary, one of the things I try to do is arrange our nets and to try and get as many people as want to involved in batting and bowling during the winter months. Now, most of us have grown up doing that, but from where I am, it's getting ever more challenging. And we found it quite difficult to get the right type of nets. We found it really difficult to get the right time. I mean, everyone is always available at 1 p.m. on a Saturday, but they never ever seem to be available at any time during the winter. Or there's no, you know, no coherence about when they're available. So it's made it really difficult to get nets up and running. Personally, I've always found nets actually quite hard as well. You know, you never quite know who's going to end up bowling at you. You could have people whizzing it past your nose, you know, stand up Fawad Mullahzada. Aaron Sandhu always was one who liked to run in and bounce you if he could. And then, you'd find somebody bowling at 5 mile an hour, you know, stand up Tom Guy, which is all fine, except I never really felt it was great practice. So I was just going to throw this out. Winter nets, guys, where do you stand? Kev, are you a winter netter?
I'm really torn, and I know I'm standing on the fence there, because part of me loves it, but brutally, that's for the social side. I guess for me, it's a chance to reconnect with the guys.
So your life is for the social side. Yeah, that's the way you roll.
There's an aura of that, but it's just not true. 40-month-old son has destroyed that.
Oh, yeah, that does that.
But I think that's the important bit of the winter nets, is actually kind of rebuilding those relationships that, you know, we all naturally drift off at the end of the season and start to build up the camaraderie, talk about the season ahead. But I guess for me, I attempt to be a batsman first and foremost. Don't bowl as much left arm pace now.
Left arm what?
It's slower in the vest.
Left arm all over.
I guess as a batsman, kind of practice makes permanent. I know that's a bit of a cliche, but you know, the reality is I play third and fourth team cricket, and I know that the pitches that we'll start seeing in April and May will be slow, wet, and there won't be any bounce. So does it help me as a kind of quite a technical batsman to have the ball zipping off the surface and flinging past your nose? It doesn't, you know, in terms of trying to get your feet moving, getting into the ball, your trigger movements. I don't really think it's a close replication to actually what you see when you go out. So if anything, it just gives you bad habits to actually, you know, balls that fall fuller than you think you can go for. So that's where I struggle with it, because you know, we can't get grass wickets. We're not going to replicate that. But I don't know, this year, you will probably pick up on this. There's a whole new netting experience potentially, which might change perspectives. But you've been there, haven't you?
I mean, historically, though, where have you stood on winter nets? I mean, you've always been quite a good netter, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I tend to enjoy going, you know, seeing bat on ball and hitting the ball, irrespective of the bounce or who's bowling at you.
Or where it goes.
Or where it goes, yeah. That's the thing. It's just bat and ball for me, just to try and get that hand-eye coordination going. You know, some people go down the route of, you know, they're using up all their good shots in the net. I don't believe in that. I think, you know, the more time I get hitting a ball, the better I'll feel when it comes to the actual cricket season. So, yeah, I'm a winter netter. I'll be there on the 11th of Feb when we start netting. So, yeah, we're good.
I mean, I see the angle on that as well, because I was always up there with the worst netters you've ever seen and, you know, could hardly hit the ball. But the very experience of being there, you know, just trying to find some way of getting hands and eyes moving, I think it ultimately probably did stand me in good stead, but the actual experience was always pretty horrific. I remember thinking, you know, I probably get out 4 or 5 times every time, and if you're the wrong type of person, as it were, then you're going to get a bit, that'll get you down a bit.
Plants a seed.
Yeah. Now, as for me, I really didn't see it that way. I always felt I was better batting outside, and that's the stuff I took seriously. The Nets sort of just went through the motions, but I think going through the motions was helpful because it did blow cobwebs away for when you get outside in April.
Yeah, I think it's also match fitness. It's, you know, that muscle memory that you start building. And personally, you know, when you net during the winter, all those muscles that you haven't used for the past 6 months, because the last time you did use them was in September, you know, trying to then pick up a bat in April and trying to figure out exactly what doesn't really work for me. So, yeah, I just try and get a little bit fitter and, you know, make sure that I
understand. Did you play much indoor cricket usually? That's always a big thing in South Africa, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, it's not a big thing here anymore. There is a couple of places that you can do indoor cricket, but yeah, it was a big thing. So, yeah, unfortunately, you know, the club that we used to play at here in Canary Wharf has closed down. I think the closest indoor centre now is in Birmingham, if I'm staying corrected.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so it's quite a distance away. But yeah, I mean, so the next best thing is, you know, doing the indoor nets. And yeah, you know, I think we're going to talk about this in a bit, but, you know, the facilities that we've chosen this year have been quite good.
Well, do you want to say a bit more about that, Yuge? Because we traditionally try to net very local, and we've used most of the facilities around here. We did use St Mary's for quite a long time, but getting the right slots was proving ever more demanding. So we've gone for a plan B this time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, nets this year are going to be at the Oval, Kia Oval. So just off Vauxhall Station. Yeah, and we're going to be netting every Monday from 6 o'clock. We've got pretty much them filled up already. You know, we've been trying to make sure that we broadcast it on all avenues. So we've got you know, full sessions on the 11th, the 18th, the 25th, and the 4th of March already. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be really interesting because you know, there's the opportunity to use a bowling machine. There's obviously going to be fantastics. You know, this is where Surrey net, so to speak. So
it's the bouncy facilities. Huge, I warn you, it's bouncy. Get that lid on.
Tell you what, just like South Africa then, which is even better. So yeah, summing up around the nose will be a good thing, other than it rolling past your ankles.
Until the first week of April.
I know.
When you duck and get bowled, yeah. That's not what I'm used to.
No, I don't know. I think, you know, I think the greens obviously got fair price, fair bounce and pace. So yeah, I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I can agree more. I think what we're saying is that kind of, as a club cricketer, you find your way, you find what works for you. I think I'm in the opposite camp to Dan in that I massively overthink my cricket. That's why my batting form's like a nuclear half-life throughout the season. It just drops. It drops in two. It genuinely was last year.
Yeah.
The first few weeks.
Oh, you got 100. Yeah, I remember that.
100
yeah.
Q, if I remember right.
Yeah, then 50, then 25. It just kept dropping off.
It's when Carlos dropped you from the first team after one game, that ruthless decision of his. I mean, that must play on the mind.
Did you get a phone call to say that you were dropped?
Not even a message.
Oh, unbelievable.
And then but in credit to him, if he is listening, there was quite a lovely heartfelt message put out in the social group.
Yeah.
Heart of gold, that guy.
Yeah, I was in tears reading that. It was genuinely sort of... You're in tears now, I can see recalling it.
No, yeah. Well, just on the net, and it's a bit of a tangent, so apologies, but actually last year, rather than doing winter nets, I started playing squash. Similar idea of feet moving, hand moving. Really liked it. Hand eye was going, starting to get a bit of confidence. I'm like, right, great. You know, cocking the wrist, all that sort of thing. Carlos messaged me, who, for anyone who doesn't know, is our first team captain and one of the best cricketers I've ever played.
Club legend.
Or played for the club.
Absolutely.
Who said, Kev, here you're playing squash. Fancy having a game? I thought,
oh no,
finally.
This sounds like it could be disastrous.
Crikey. I thought, finally, here we go. I might have a chance here because I've been playing for a while. He comes in, haven't played for a while. About 12 minutes later, I was having a heart attack. He confesses, I think his dad is a squash coach and he's grown up playing squash. And it was, that basically my whole winter prep just went in 12 minutes.
Did you play squash afterwards or was that the end of the squash?
No, I haven't been back since. Basically, to cancel the membership. Yeah.
He's a brutal man, that Nunes. Don't underestimate him.
He's just good at anything involving hand-eye coordination.
Sickening.
Yeah, it's not often you find somebody that can bat, bowl, wicket keep, catch, throw,
although
and apparently
say,
play squash.
Andy Bright, though.
No, but the South Africans in the first team, we've always had, for those who don't know, a strong core of South Africans in the first team. And I remember one game when John Varney and I were the only two non-South Africans in the first team. That was a decade or so ago now. But one thing I always remember is how rubbish they are at football. So you play football beforehand, and seriously, I mean, Clint McCabe, you know, another classic sort of sportsman, all-round sportsman, but football, forget it. Absolute crime against humanity. So, Kev, that's what you need to do. Get Nunes on the football field. I think you'll have a chance.
The irony is that that's how I got my first team game.
Of course.
Someone did their ankle in the game of football.
There you go.
And I think I was the only person living and breathing within a mile.
So you got called...
Ironically, one of our probably one of the few Englishmen. It was Mr. Grundy hurt his ankle.
That's right.
We will come back to that, I'm sure, that famous day when Kev made his first team debut. But not now. There was a couple of other things I wanted to raise. Not so much about Nets. I mean, you just as outlined that we're going to go to the Oval. If anyone wants to sign up, then we want to hear from you, because we can book further Nets if we need them. But we've also had quite a busy winter and autumn, really, in terms of things going on actually at the club. And basically the interior has been renovated. Now, Yuge has probably been closest to this. Do you want to talk us through what's been going on?
Yeah, sure. So there's been a complete renovation external, which has been done by the council. I think there was a grant that we put in for, and we work very closely with our neighbours, that being Tamusians Rugby Football Club and the council. And we redid the outside of the pavilion first to make sure that it was all waterproof and sturdy and ready to do the internal side. And over the winter, the internal side has also been done. So we've basically repainted everything. We've had new chairs put in. There's been a lot done. We've redone the cold room, so that's all been redone. The bar area looks really fantastic. It actually really looks like a really good club now. The one nice thing that I think is going to really put us in good stead for the future is that we're not going to be pulling stuff down and putting stuff up anymore as we move between rugby and cricket season. So there's not going to have to be, the changing of pictures. Everything that's going up now is staying up. So we'll have all of our honours boards up there. We'll have the Tamusian Rugby Football Club. All of their honours will be up there. And it'll actually be a pavilion that you'll be, one to go to. I mean, you guys have obviously been in there and had a look at it. What are your guys' thoughts on how it looks?
Well, my initial take was it looks fantastic. And little things matter, like some of the pictures that we had. The pictures themselves were great, but the frames they were in were not so great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And quite a lot of the stuff's been reframed, and it's just been organised in a really nice, coherent, but sort of very attractive way. And I think it looks really good, and it's a good sign, I think, that the rugby club and the cricket club are working so well together on this. And people like John Dunn, who's the long-standing chair of Tamusians, have been instrumental in pushing this forward over years, to be fair. And hats off to those guys, because it looks like a real home for both clubs.
Yeah, the same that John Dunn done. I think also, John Varney, our chairman, he's also put a lot of us into it. So I think those two working together to make the clubhouse look as good as it does today. Personally, I'm going to be enjoying Brian there every Saturday from in the summer. That's for sure.
It's chalk and cheese compared to what it looks like. I think the key thing. I think superficially we know it's just miles apart. Not just as a space that we can use as clubs, but actually for the community to use the actual internal space now for birthday parties, that sort of thing. It's a world apart. I think the key thing you mentioned is actually organisational side. I think it's massively underestimated how much goes into just making a club like Twickenham work, and actually it sometimes can look a bit like that Swan effect, just got the teams playing, but actually there's legs wearing away. And like you say, the whole thing started a year ago with John Barney and Reggie, and that lesser known village planning fund, which started that whole conversation of actually trying to unlock some budget to bring the pavilion up to what it needed to be. And if we look at where it's got to now and the opportunities it will bring forward for the club this year in terms of putting on events and sponsorship,
I should say as well that the first I heard of that was at a Friends of Twickenham Green meeting, where they had an external speaker coming from the council who mentioned that fund, came up to me and said, "Well, do you want anything doing? You'd be in a good place to apply for this." So, it's from little acorns, great oak trees grow, because that was where we got the idea from, and ultimately, the pavilion's been transformed as a result of that. So, I mean, we're hoping to get John Barney in one day, aren't we, to talk about some of the things he's done and experienced around the club. But he's been absolutely instrumental to that, and I think, I think people like that make clubs work. And we're going to say a little bit more about those sorts of guys over the weeks ahead. Ultimately, as well, we're not really finished yet. There's always plenty more that we can do. Certainly, Paul Johnson's been involved in applying for no end of other grants to do other things. Ultimately, we're hoping to see improvements around the bar area, in the kitchen. That's certainly one that's looking quite good at the moment. And Tony Bendlow and his team around the Pavilion Management Committee doing sterling work there. And, we should all sort of big that work up, because a lot of people don't see it.
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
There's one other thing that's getting a lot of love right now, which is the square.
Talk us through it, Kev. What have you been seeing?
popped out there a couple of times. I mean, I'm far from it. What you just said is part of a trainee groundsman. You got quite heavily involved last year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Nigel's given it some love now, and yeah. I think it's brilliant that, you know, again, we've now, you know, got a real club man. I mean, how many years has he been in the club for?
About 174, I think.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's get him a badge next year.
Yeah, he's been doing some great work on it. You know, I don't think I've ever seen it look as good as it is during winter.
Just, you know, someone looking at it. Over
absolutely,
winter.
Yeah. You know, the grass has been cut. You know, we've cordoned it off. It's Nigel's doing a great job there. So, yeah, I suppose you know, the proof will be in the pudding, and I'm hoping that you know, that when
it's
we do play on it, yeah. Yeah, hoping it's going to be a whacker out there. It's going to be nice and hard when it comes to playing. So yeah, it'll be
so
good.
That's all of our bowlers gone elsewhere then.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was about to ask that. You know, it's a bit of a segue. Yeah. Segue, that's a completely wrong word. But as to Skipper, do you want hard, fast, bouncy wicket? Are you?
Well, the definition of a good pitch. Now that's because I often feel that the games that I remember most are the 180 all out versus 181 for nine, whereas others seem to go for the 320 versus 314 or whatever, and I'm not sure which is the better game of cricket, really.
Yeah, the good game of cricket is the one you win. that's the simple
more splinters,
one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's why England are never world champions. We don't, you know, we don't have that mentality, maybe.
Yeah. Two schools of thought there. You know, personally, having been more of a batter than a bowler, I always like hard and, you know, nice wickets that you can bat on. Obviously, you know, it also, you know, depends on the bowling that you have. You know, in the twos, we're fairly strong in the spin department with some very good seamers that get us off to good starts. But, you know, personally, it's a flatter wicket that I prefer because, you know, I know that our batting is stronger than our bowling. So, yeah, it's one of those that your horses for courses type scenario. When you look at the ones, they've probably got a slightly different tact in it because they've got such a strong bowling lineup. They probably want a little bit of a more of a bowling wicket, you know, with people like Parminder and, you know, the spin attack that they have. You know, I think it's important that they have a little bit of an older and a used wicket when it comes to what they like. So,
well, I think there's a topic there for future weeks because there is really an issue around what we're looking for out of a game of cricket. Because for some of us, you know, bowling sides out is absolutely fundamental to winning the game. Whereas for others, it's basically glorified baseball and who scores the most home runs, stroke sixes, wins. And I think both of those arguments have merit. But it's interesting when you play the game as to what people think they're actually doing. And I suspect that might be a topic for future weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good one, yeah.
Just to add on to that so we don't forget it. And also how that correlates to performance within the season. Because we've got no one grading our pitches beyond outside the Prem level.
Yeah.
And depending on where you are, what the pitches look like in the second half.
Absolutely. However, I think we've probably done enough for the first week of our podcast.
Yeah,
Kev's looking a bit weary. I can see we upset him by talking about that traumatic first team appearance. But hopefully we've given you enough to think it might be worth tuning in again. We've certainly got plenty of ideas about what we can talk about, but as all of the guys have mentioned, we want to hear more from you. We want to hear what you think of what we've said. We want to hear questions. In fact, we want to hear anything. So do hit us with those. And all being well, we'll be back for podcast 2 in a couple of weeks' time.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.